Forward travels west Thursday. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The first presidential stop, Las Vegas, for a speech before the National Association of Realtors. Then off to an Air Force base in Arizona to formally accept a fighter plane rolling off the assembly line. The final stop is an appearance before the National Convention of Sigma Delta Chi, a society of professional journalists in Phoenix. President Ford plans to return to Washington tomorrow night after the Arizona session. Doctors for former President Nixon say he will be released from Long Beach Hospital Thursday and that his condition is improving. U.S. Judge John Sirica has appointed a panel of three doctors to examine Mr. Nixon to determine if he's able to testify at the Watergate cover-up trial. The report is due November 29th. Mr. Nixon's physician, Dr. John Lundgren, says he welcomes the examination by the court-appointed doctors. The examination now will apparently take place at Mr. Nixon's San Clemente estate. More after this.
Time Magazine. What's in it for you this week? Cover story. The Democratic sweep. Now the morning after. Last week, the Democrats scored their greatest midterm election triumph since 1958. But as one prominent Democrat put it, the heat's on us now. What are the challenges and who will face them? Time puts it all in perspective with an analysis of Republican disasters in the state election. The new gubernatorial scoreboard. The impressive freshman class in the Senate. The new faces and new strains in the House. And the record-breaking number of women elected to political office. In Time's essay this week, some steps to stop oil blackmail. Energy conservation is possible, practical, and essential. And Time catalogs some of the best means at hand for getting oil prices back to normal. In the world, a shocking report by a former missionary and part-time correspondent for Time who was kidnapped, imprisoned, and tortured by the Brazilian military police. In show business, Duke and Sister Kate, an offbeat, off-camera look at John Wayne and Katharine Hepburn as they wrap up their first picture together. This is Time this week. Each week, throughout the world, more people get their news from Time than from any other single source.
Reaction by United Mine Workers officials to the tentative settlement in the coal strike is cautious, and most warn that the agreement will have to survive critical examination by the rank and file before ratification. The next step is a meeting in Washington Thursday of all district presidents and board members. If they approve the contract, then it goes to the local union and a vote by rank and file members. A final vote is not expected for about 2 weeks. The tentative agreement provides for increases in wages and benefits amounting to more than 40% over the next 3 years. The union bargained hard for safety and pension benefits, as UMW President Arnold Miller explains.
This was a contract that addressed itself to many areas. It's very complex. In the field of the benefit program, we got a commitment of $900 million more in the benefit program and the retirement, health and retirement fund, which allows to go back and eradicate some of the gross inequity that prevailed for many years.
Mine Workers President Arnold Miller. Guerrilla leader Yasser Arafat has carried his cause to the United Nations, offering the world a choice of continued Middle East violence or peace, based on the creation of a Palestinian state on what is now Israeli-occupied land. Jewish reaction was quick and firm to the speech. Israel's UN ambassador said Israel would never permit establishment of Arafat's Palestine Liberation Organization anywhere on Israeli soil. In Jerusalem, Prime Minister Rabin says the comments were a direct challenge to the very existence of Israel.
The essence of his speech is Jews are not entitled to be considered as a nation. Jews are doomed to be minorities. Jews have no right to have their own state.
Israeli Prime Minister Rabin. In Washington, State Department sources are expressing disappointment in the speech by the Palestine Liberation Leader. Although the speech at the UN was moderate in delivery, the content showed no change in the PLO position toward Israel. More after this.
Norm, I'll give you $10 if you make a move right now.
See, if I move here, then you'll move there. You'll connect four in a row and you'll beat me.
Norman!
If I move, what?
See, 18 days is too long between moves, Norm. That's how long I've been
here. I could move here. No, I couldn't. You'll block me. I'm sorry, I can't.
Connect four is only a game, Norm.
On the other hand, if I move here, then you'll have to move. No, you won't. No, you won't.
I know my lovely wife is probably wondering what happened.
Boy, this connect four is more than a vertical checkers game.
My boss is going to be mad.
It's vertical and horizontal and diagonal strategy.
I think I was supposed to be in Pittsburgh last Tuesday.
It's a challenge. That's what I like, the challenge.
I really do miss my wife, Shirley, though.
Yeah, isn't it Sheila?
Sheila,
mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like two minds locked in battle.
Not for 18 days, Norman. Make a move.
But you've snuck up on me. I can't move anywhere. I give up.
I win Connect Four?
You win Connect Four. Harry.
I win. Thank goodness. I win.
Harry.
Yeah?
It's 2 out of 3. Remember, that's where the... Oh.
Connect Four, the new strategy game of vertical checkers from Milton Bradley. Interior Secretary Rogers Morton has resurrected an idea to raise gasoline taxes to save fuel. The idea has been previously rejected by President Ford. U.S. auto sales continue their sharp decline during the beginning of November, dropping more than 38% from a year ago. GM is closing 3 more assembly plants, laying off an additional 7,000 workers. Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
The time, 6 minutes past 10. CBS Radio Mystery Theater, next in just 1 minute. Forecast, considerable night and morning fog or low clouds through Friday with partial afternoon clearing. Nighttime lows in the mid-40s, daytime highs in the mid-50s. Winds northerly 5 to 15 miles an hour. And the chance of measurable precipitation, 10% or less through tomorrow night. It's cloudy with fog at SeaTac Airport, most appropriately for our Mystery Theater Hour. Temperature 48 degrees. At Lake Union, 50 degrees. Next on KIXI, CBS Mystery Theater at 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. The line between fact and fancy is often a very thin one. The border that separates illusion from reality can be very narrow, just as the distance from sanity to madness and back again to sanity can be a very short one. And do we always know where the real world leaves off and the dream begins?
Sometime the spirit of a man die before his body die. When his soul, his spirit, die before the rest of him, then the god Marco is especially sad. When that happen, melody of the drum is especially sad too, like now. Listen to the song of lamentation. Death has walked among my people. It is why this island is called the Island of the Lost.
Our mystery drama, Island of the Lost, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Arnold Moss and stars Norman Rose. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Ever had a tall, frosty glass of Amplitude? Well, if your beer is Budweiser, you've had it often. Amplitude is a fancy word for the entire taste phenomenon, the total experience of flavor. Next time you take a healthy swallow of Bud, watch what happens. Think about the sensations you're experiencing. Notice how the flavor of Bud comes on nice and easy. Not too strong, not too quick, just right. Notice the clean, crisp togetherness of Bud's taste. Everything in perfect balance, with no single element jumping out at you. And there'll be no aftertaste either, no hanging on. And you'll be refreshed and ready for another glassful. Actually, bud drinkers have been experiencing amplitude for years, but they never phrase it that way. They just say Budweiser, and that says it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
From 17 to 25, young minds are so alive. They see things that others may not see. College is the place they learn the things they'll need when it's their turn to show the way to you and me.
College is a place where the future of America is being built. Right now, but colleges are in financial trouble, and they need all the help that you and I can give them. The dollars you give to the college of your choice are an investment in America's most important asset, the minds of her children. So please, give to the college of your choice now. From 17 to 25, young minds are so alive. A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Dreams have breath and tears and tortures and the touch of joy. They leave a weight upon our waking thoughts. They take a weight from off our waking troubles. They can divide our being. They can become for us the heralds of eternity. For Tony Bridges, it began in the office of his eye doctor.
Tilt your head back just a trifle more, Tony. So, very good. Now hold still, please.
You know, every time you put that head mirror on to examine my eyes...
And no talking, my friend.
Ah, you're the doctor.
One moment more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, finished. You were saying, Tony?
Oh, nothing important. It's only that every time you examine my eyes and put that big mirror on around your head with the hole in the middle, it always makes me think of one of those science fiction movies with, Boris Karloff. Well, what's the verdict, Herr Dr. Werner?
The Herr Doctor will prescribe a stronger prescription for your eyeglasses.
Well, isn't the prescription I'm wearing strong enough?
Not quite, Tony. At your age, shall we say... Past 39?
Past 39, huh? What about for a man who's just past 59?
A little stronger still.
Fritz, if they'll help cut down on these headaches, it'll certainly be worth the trouble.
Well, the new glasses may help.
May?
We can never be sure about these things. We must always hope. You know something, Tony?
What?
Sometimes I think your headaches could be, how do you say, triggered. By something not altogether physical.
Oh, come on, Fritz. What's that supposed to mean?
How old is your wife?
Now, you know perfectly well how old Martha is.
30?
Almost on the nose. But what's Martha's age got to do with...
Tony, she's half your age. Charming, intelligent, beautiful. Black hair, green eyes. The figure of a goddess. The face of an angel.
Yes, one of the most gorgeous young women you've ever seen, right?
Exactly. Could it not be possible that there is a certain tenseness in your relationship with this beautiful young wife?
That causes the headaches? Oh, no, Fritz, I don't think so.
I've seen you both at a dinner party. How you react whenever a younger man seems to be paying the slightest attention to her. Martha loves you. Loves you deeply. You have no cause in the world to be jealous of her. I promise you. So relax. Enjoy her. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your life.
Fritz, what you're prescribing is exactly what I have in mind.
That's good.
You know that Martha left a week ago for that vacation we've been talking about. A little hidden away island in the Caribbean. Well, I am joining her.
You're joining her? That's... perfectly wonderful.
Yes, it's going to be like a surprise. She's not expecting me for another few days.
You shouldn't do that, Tony.
Well, who says so?
Why do you surprise her? Can't you wire her or phone?
No way. There's no direct phone to the island. And by the time a wire got there...
What about the new glasses?
Well, I've lived this long with the old ones. I can live a few more days with them. Here's the address of the island. It's the Hotel Paraiso. Send them Air Express. They should be there in 2 or 3 days.
Whatever you say, Tony.
Auf Wiedersehen, Fritz. And thanks for the advice.
Not at all.
And don't forget the glasses.
Of course not.
See you in about 10 days.
Miss Elliot, please take this letter to Mrs. Martha Bridges, Hotel Paraiso, Isla de los Perdidos. I'll give you the exact address later. Send it airmail, special delivery. Mark it urgent. Ready? Dearest Martha, when you get this letter, Tony will already have surprised you. I did my best to think of a way to keep him from coming without arising any suspicions. No luck. Under the present circumstances, it would be best for you to take every possible precaution. You cannot be too careful, dear Martha.
At 1 o'clock the following morning, I was in the lobby of the Hotel Paraiso on the little island of Los Perdidos, the island of the lost. Behind the desk, his feet on the desk, was a bald, fat little man, fast asleep. Excuse me. Maybe this will work.
Yeah, hello. Please forgive me, senor.
It's all right.
I was just taking a few winks of sleep.
It's my fault. It is a little late. 1 in the morning, your time.
Oh, the hour is of no importance, senor. Welcome to the Hotel Paraiso. I am at your service.
My wife arrived last Tuesday, and she doesn't...
Of course, senor. Pablo understands. Your wife arrived last Tuesday.
Yes, and you are Pablo.
Always at your orders, senor. Your lady, this good senora, is expecting you. You will find her in the... bungalow B. It is our very best.
Expecting me? She doesn't even know
we
that...
We must not keep her waiting, eh, senor?
But this is a surprise. She doesn't even know that I'm coming. Are you sure, Pablo?
Oh, I am sure, senor.
Oh, you didn't even ask me my name.
I know, senor, eh? You follow me now to Bungalow B, see? This is our Bungalow B. Enter, senor.
You can put my bag over there near the coffee table.
Now, this naturally is the living room. The bedroom is through that door.
Just a moment. I want to see. We must be quiet. It's dark, but... Yes, that's Martha all right in there. And she's in bed, sound asleep.
Well, you yourself have said, senor, it is a little late.
But I just can't understand it.
Don't try, senor. Meantime... Try to make yourself comfortable. Admire, if you will, the beauty of this bungalow.
Yes, it's very nice.
As you can see, all the furniture is what you call rattan. All beautifully handmade by the artistic makers of furniture of the island. And please do notice the draperies, senor.
Yes, they're very pretty.
Fishing nets woven by the fishermen of the island and made into most unique decorative hangings.
But how could she have been expecting me? I wasn't supposed
to... And in the morning, senor, when you awaken, you will see a view from the bedroom window as you have never seen before in all your life.
Are you sure that she...
Oh, I am quite sure. Bungalow B is situated on a most high cliff, looking down 2,000 feet into our beautiful sea and the rocks below.
Yes, yes, of course. I look forward to seeing it.
In the morning, senor. And now, senor, pleasant dreams. Until tomorrow.
What was he talking about? Martha couldn't possibly have been expecting me. Not for another 3 days. Oh, well, it'll all get cleared up in the morning. Oh, I better get undressed. Get a little sleep. And my little gift for Martha. My anniversary present. Beautiful string of pearls. Perfectly matched. Oh, wonderful luster. Well, I'll keep till morning. I'll put them around her beautiful neck as I wake her.
Lord, I'm tired. Lights out, Tony. I feel as if I hadn't slept in... No. No, not again. Not here, of all places. Oh, that pain is coming again. It's spreading down the whole side of my face. It's hard to breathe.
It is me, my darling. Alberto. I'm sorry to be late. I beg your pardon.
What are you doing here?
I apologize, sir. A frightful mistake. I thought this was Bungalow B.
This is Bungalow B, young man, and I'm afraid that you've made a very great mistake.
If this is Bungalow B, I have made no mistake.
Who do you think you're looking for?
I cannot see, senor, but this can not be any of your business.
Shh, please keep your voice down. My wife is in there asleep.
Your wife? This is beginning to be most amusing. That beautiful young woman is the wife of an old rooster like you? This is very funny. Your wife?
Now listen, you better leave. You've come to the wrong place.
Perhaps it is you who have made the mistake. The American girl told me
you
that...
You get out of here fast before I kill you.
So, the old man has a gun, too.
Yes, and it is loaded. Out.
As you say, senor, she is all yours, old man. Good night and good luck.
As the door slammed shut, something exploded inside me. I knew that these last few months of doubt, fear, suspicion about Martha were based on something more than fantasy. This young man was evidence of it, clear and tangible proof. I hadn't been expected for a few days, and Pablo had mistaken me for this young man. My brain began to pound like a trip hammer. I no longer trusted myself to be in the same room with Martha if I stayed. At that moment, I looked down at my hands. The string of pearls was still in them. I tore them apart furiously and watched as they rolled to the floor. All night long, I wandered as though drugged up and down the long miles of beach, ghostly white in the moonlight. In the morning, weary and numb, I found my way back to the lobby of the hotel.
Tony! Darling! No, it can't be! When did you get here?
Last night's plane, connecting boats.
Oh, darling, why didn't you let me know you were coming?
Well, I had a crazy idea, Martha. I wanted to surprise
you. Well, you certainly have. Why didn't you come to the bungalow?
I did, Martha.
Oh, Tony, I would have heard you.
I came in very quietly.
Is anything wrong? Are you all right, sweetheart?
Oh, yes, I'm just dandy.
Where did you sleep last night?
I didn't. I walked along the beach after I left the bungalow.
Oh, why should you have done a silly thing?
Martha, what have you been up to since you got here?
Tony, dear, now stop it. I won't be cross-examined. You know very well...
Who was that young man, Martha?
What are you talking about? What young man?
The young man who came calling on you in the middle of the night. He said he had an appointment.
I haven't the remotest idea what you're talking about.
I'm leaving on the next boat. It goes at 4:00.
Tony, could we go over to the bungalow, please? Can't talk here in the lobby.
All right. Whatever you like, Martha.
Where'd I put the key? Oh, here it is.
Martha?
What is it? What's wrong?
Martha, you've made a mistake.
Mistake?
The furniture. The furniture. It's all different from what it was last night.
I don't understand you, Tony.
The draperies, they were made of fish netting. These are, what do you call them, matchstick bamboo. Martha, what's the letter on this bungalow?
It's Bungalow B, of course.
This isn't the bungalow where you slept last night?
Of course it is.
Now, let's take a look at the bedroom. Oh, no. No, it can't be. You were sleeping in a double-sized bed, king-size, in fact, and this room has two twin beds. Oh, wait, I know the view. Pablo said that the view from this bedroom window was something that I...
What is wrong, Tony?
Well, he said that there was a beautiful view of the sea and the rocks below the cliff and palm trees. Martha, what do you see out of this window?
Nothing but the side wall of the bungalow next to us.
Then where is the beautiful view? Unless, for some reason, Pablo lied to me.
When the tree that has stood in the forest for 1,000 years topples and falls crashing to the ground, is there a sound if there are no ears to hear it? Do the brilliant colors of the rainbow exist for someone who has never had the blessed gift of eyes and eyesight? These are questions for which there are no easy answers. Just what similarly disturbing questions are there for Tony Bridges? Questions to which he has not yet found the answer. We'll find out shortly when I return with Act Two.
If you take a look at the new 1975 cars, it doesn't take long to notice the European influence is strong. And to be sure, there are some new American cars that rival the Europeans, one being Buick's new Skylark SR. But don't consider a Skylark SR because of its touring car interior or its rather rakish profile. Consider it because it's a Buick, possessing many of Buick's nicer innovations, like the new Buick V6, a peppery little engine that spits out a plentiful amount of torque while sipping a surprisingly small amount of gasoline. And if you wish, Skylark SR can abound with creature comforts seldom found on cars this size, with available items like Cruise Master speed control, AM/FM stereo. But you've heard enough. Now you need to see and drive a Skylark SR. And try to remember, it's not a European touring car. It's a Buick.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, today our man in the street interview comes to you from Big City, USA. Excuse me, sir. What do you get high on?
I beg pardon?
You know, what do you turn on with?
Well, you're some kind of a cop. Well, it doesn't make any difference anyhow, because I don't use anything.
Then how do you get high?
Oh, I get high on a lot of things, like seeing my kids start to walk or the first dandelions in the park, you know.
Anything else?
Yeah, getting tired gives me a high. If it's a tired, you know, from something I like bowling with the guys or taking a long bike ride. But, hey, would you believe polishing my car gives me a high? And it's even legal.
In other words, then, it's you get a natural high.
Yeah, natural, that's it. Which, incidentally, doesn't mean that you're high all the time. It'd be unreasonable to expect to be high all the time, you know?
It's like getting high on life.
Sure, but you got to remember, getting high on life could be habit forming.
This mini-interview was brought to you nationwide by the New York State Drug Abuse Control Commission. Worthy events for Tony Bridges of the night just past, the tree falling in the forest unheard, or colors never seen. What was the logical explanation? For Tony, what had happened was all a little strange and curious.
Martha and I talked all morning. She finally convinced me that everything that had happened last night was, in fact, a series of reasonable coincidences that spelled out mistake. For the first time in months, I felt as close to Martha as I ever had, and I knew she felt the same way about me. We went for a walk into the mountains that rose behind the hotel. On the way back, just as we were nearly at the bungalow, Martha lost her footing, turned her ankle badly. I carried her into the bedroom. She rested while I unpacked and ordered dinner in our rooms.
So, with your permission, senor, a beautiful dinner has been prepared for you and the senora. Look here. This fish was swimming happily in the sea only half an hour ago. And 1 hour ago, these beautiful vegetables were growing proudly in our own garden.
Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you very much, Pablo. It all looks beautiful indeed.
I placed the dinner here on the table.
Thank you.
And, senora, I hope you do not suffer too much pain.
No, it only hurts if I try to move it or put weight on it.
You just stay where you are for a day or two and it'll be fine, I'm sure.
It is essential that one exercise care when walking in our beautiful mountains. From the time when there were earthquakes here, there are some cracks where one can trip and twist an ankle.
Oh, really? This is earthquake country. I didn't know that.
Senor, was. Not in any more than 40 years. Now, there. Your dinner is served. I leave you to the enjoyment of it. Buenas noches to you both. Senor, senora.
Well, let me get these few things away in the closet, and then we'll have our so beautiful dinner. Do you have the key, dear?
What key?
To this second closet. It's locked.
Oh, I forgot. There isn't any key. Pablo said the last guest took it with him. There's no master key, so he's ordered a duplicate from the mainland.
Oh, well, I'll put my stuff in your closet then, all right?
The key should be here by tomorrow or the next day.
Oh, that's great. And now, if the senora will permit that she be carried from her bed to this most appetizing dinner...
The senor has the senora's permission.
We go. Ah, there we are. Comfortable.
Yes. Couldn't be happier, except for this stupid ankle.
Buen appetito, my darling. To us.
To us.
In the middle of the night, I was wakened by the most curious sensation. My bed was being shaken violently. All around me, I had the feeling that the furniture, the pictures on the wall, were vibrating in some strange way. The whole bungalow was quivering. Martha! Martha! Are you all right? Martha, are you awake? Oh, where's that light? Oh, there. Martha! Her bed was empty. Martha, where are you? Where could she be? Then I suddenly remembered her ankle. How could she have left her bed? Where could she have gone? What had Pablo said about this once having been earthquake country? Of course, that's what was happening.
At your service, senores.
We're in the middle of an earthquake, aren't we?
Earthquake? There is no earthquake, senor.
But of course there is. What are we supposed to do?
Senor?
Oh, look, will you stop beating about the bush? Just tell me that it's nothing serious or that it'll pass without damage, but don't tell me that it's nothing.
Would you please to tell me why the senor thinks there is an earthquake?
The pictures, my bed, the lamp, the whole room is shaking and jumping around, and that noise, that rumbling noise.
The senora, your wife, she is experiencing the same thing, senor?
Well, that's just it. It's really why I called. My wife is not here.
Oh, I am so sorry. Here she is, not there.
Have you seen her?
I regret, senor. I have not.
But where could she have gone? She can't walk.
Of this, I have no knowledge, senor.
No, wait a minute. Wait just a moment. The sound seems to have stopped, and nothing's shaking anymore. Is it all over?
I think perhaps I can explain. The strenuous climb you have made this afternoon in the mountains, the highness of the altitude and the thinness of the air, you are not used to it. It happens to many of our guests.
What happens?
It is a kind of a spasm of the muscles, senor, from the altitude. I'm so happy it has passed.
But my wife, where is my wife?
Of that, senor, as I have already said, I regretfully have not the slightest idea. Sleep well, senor.
In spite of my concern about Martha, I fell asleep immediately. A long and merciful sleep. When I awoke, it was broad daylight. The sun was streaming in through the windows, and everything was exactly as it had been in the middle of the night, except for one thing. Lying in the next bed, reading calmly, was Martha.
Good morning, sweetheart. Did you have a good night? I slept like a rock.
Where were you last night?
Tony, let go of my arm. You're hurting.
Where were you? Where did you go?
What are you talking about?
Where were you?
Let go.
in the middle of the night you left this bedroom. Now, where did you go?
Are you out of your mind? Take a look at this ankle of mine. It's purple and blue. It's twice the size it was last night. I can't walk on it except with the greatest pain. You ask me where I was last night? I was here. Right here in this bed every minute of the night.
A couple of days passed. They were blessedly peaceful, uneventful, golden. 2 days before our vacation was to end, Martha's ankle was strong enough for her to venture out on another little walk into the hills that ran along the edge of the cliff that overlooked the sea below.
Oh, this cane's a great help. I really don't have to put my full weight on the ankle.
Just watch your step. Avoid any of those cracks that Pablo pointed out.
Oh, look, darling, there's a clearing up ahead. We could rest for a bit when we get up there. Oh, listen to those birds.
Yes, the whole thing is like a Garden of Eden.
You know, Pablo said if we follow this path, we'll discover thousands and thousands of wild orchids. Oh, we should have come here long ago. It's so much more fun than going to those silly luncheons.
For the first time in months, I began to feel sure of myself. Sure of Martha. In spite of all my fears, I knew she loved me. I had no reason for being jealous of her. Not a single reason. As she spoke, I began to hear a strange sound, like the flapping of a thousand wings coming nearer and nearer.
Tony, look! The sky is black with them!
Birds. Huge birds. Martha, what are they? They're all pink and red.
I think they're flamingos. I've never seen so many birds in my life. They're coming closer and closer. Oh, Tony, I'm frightened. What should we do?
I don't know. Martha, use your cane. If they come close, use it like a baseball bat. Here's a branch from a tree. I'll do the same.
Look out, Tony. Here they come.
Look, there's one. Oh, that big one. Oh, that big one just knocked off my glasses. I can't see.
I don't think I can fight them. There's too many of them.
Keep at it, darling. Sooner or later. Oh. Martha? What happened? Where did they go?
They?
The flamingos. The birds. They disappeared as suddenly as they came. Are you all right?
I'm fine.
I can't imagine. Oh, I need a cigarette.
You take one of mine. They're in my bag.
I can't see very well. I lost my glasses when those birds...
The bag. It's right near your feet.
Yes. Yes, I've got it. Oh, there's so much junk in your bag. What's that?
What is it?
Listen. You hear it? What do you suppose it is? Martha, you do hear it, don't you?
I think so.
In the distance, those drums beating.
Well, of course. Of course I hear them, dear.
Oh, thank heavens. I thought for a moment... Where do you suppose they come from? Who's playing them?
But I haven't the slightest idea.
It's funny. Not for that cigarette. Down we go into the bottom of your bag and... Martha. Martha, what's this?
That's the key to the closet in the bungalow.
To your closet?
To my closet and your closet. It's to both closets.
Both? When did it get here?
It's always been here. Why?
When I asked you about it the other night, you said there was no key to my closet. Somebody had taken it away and they were making a new one.
I said that?
Of course you did. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's all starting to make sense. That anyone could be so evil. That anyone could so despise another human being that she'd stop at nothing. Stoop to anything to get him out of the way.
You don't know what you're saying. I love you, Tony. You must believe
me. Anything at all. Even to the point of trying to drive a man out of his mind.
That's not true.
All these strange things that have been happening. Oh, they were no coincidences. They were all part of some twisted, devilish scheme you worked out to get rid of me by driving me mad.
Careful, Tony. You're backing me so close to the edge of the cliff.
The mix-up with the bungalows. Oh, that was a good one. How did you work that?
and the business of your ankle and disappearing in the middle of the night. That was worthy of a master.
Stop it, Tony!
And the birds, huh? And now this key.
Oh, you missed your calling, Martha. You should get an act together. Martha, the mysterious magician. She mystifies. She confuses. The hand is quicker than the eye. She cheats. She lies. But it's all part of the act, isn't it, Martha? Isn't it?
Careful, Tony. I'm losing my balance. Tony, I'm...
Long trip, Martha. 2,000 feet. And those sharp rocks down there can't be very comfortable, can they? The act is over, Martha. Curtain, Martha.
Jealousy is said to be the child of love. But if the parent does not do his best to strangle the child will not rest till it has poisoned its own father. Which may well be the case with Tony Bridges. To what further extremes will the deadly venom of his jealousy drive Tony? He may or may not know the answer. But we shall, when we return shortly with Act Three.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers? The man from the Meta Business Bureau knows.
Oh, Irene, this new sofa is gone already, and...
Why, what's that inside the cushion, John? It's, oh my heavens, it's crumpled newspaper. How did we ever buy a sofa like this? What can we do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you, sir?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. When you shop for furniture, it's what's inside that counts. Fancy coverings can hide a variety of shoddy workmanship. Read the law label that must be stitched to the furniture. It will tell you the filler material used and buy from a reputable dealer.
Oh, thank you, sir. We'll know better next time.
Not at all, ma'am. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Glorious feeling of exhilaration flowed through Tony. His head was as light as if he'd drunk too much champagne. For the first time in years, he no longer had a heavy millstone around his neck. The torment of having a beautiful young woman for a wife. Tony Bridges' only concern now was to find some way to get off the island before Martha's body was discovered.
The same drums I'd heard just before Martha. I started walking slowly, deliberately, in the direction from which they seemed to come. Without my glasses, I could just barely see where I was going. I tore my way through a tangle of creeping vines and found myself in some sort of a clearing. I almost stumbled over something seated before a small fire. It was an ancient little man of the island. His face like so much black parchment, his clothes in rags. He sat there, hunched over the smoky fire, blinking his eyes and mumbling.
Oh, you wonder.
I beg your pardon.
Oh. It is all my fault. I should not sit in the middle of the bath, but it is a good place to meditate.
Who are you? What's your name, old man?
He's long forgotten, my name. Even by me.
What are you doing here?
Sitting, listening, thinking.
Listening?
To the sad and mournful song of my people.
Oh, you mean those drums? You hear them too?
Alas, I hear them too well. I hear them.
What are they for? Where does the sound come from?
Our island is small. They come from everywhere. They are heard everywhere.
But why? Why? What do they mean?
This one who hears is lamentation. Death has walked among my people, among the lost ones. It is why this place is called Isla de los Perdidos, Island of the Lost.
Someone has died?
Someone has passed on to Mako.
Who is Mako?
The great father of all things in the sea, from where we all have come to where we all shall go.
I see.
This is reason for the wailing of the drums. They beat out their farewell to the soul of a man who is making the journey to Mako.
The soul of a man or a woman?
Man. Always man, not woman. For woman, drums play another song. Not this one.
I understand. I'm very sorry for the poor man who has gone on to Mako. When did he die?
No one can be sure. Perhaps he is not yet dead.
Well, then why...
The drums often sing with the promise of things to come, to some soon. Sometime the spirit of a man will die. Before he does, then... Mako is especially sad because he is made to wait. When that happened, the melody of the drums is especially sad too. Like now.
I left my ancient friend as quickly as possible, made my way back to the hotel. I couldn't stop thinking of all the confusing things that had happened since I arrived on this cursed island. The mix-up with the bungalows, the visitor that first night, the missing closet key, what I had thought was an earthquake, Martha's apparent disappearance in the middle of the night in spite of her bad ankle, the attack by the flamingos, and finally, my realization that Martha, in some way, has made all these things happen to drive me out of my mind. But hold on there. Has made things happen. Made things happen. Martha is dead. Her body at this very moment is being battered against the sharp rocks by the angry waters of that beautiful blue sea.
Senor! Senor Bridges! I have been looking for you all over.
What do you want?
Most especially, I have been looking for the senora, your wife.
What is it?
For you, senor, this small package has arrived by this morning's boat.
Thank you, Pablo.
And for the senora, this letter. Here, made very special delivery. He's marked most...
Yes, I'll take it.
You will be sure, senor, it reaches the hands of the senora. He's also marked very personal.
Don't worry.
Thank you, senor.
I walked over to Bungalow B. Once inside, I collapsed into the big chair, feeling as though my lifeblood had been drained from me. I opened the package, addressed to me. Good old Fritz. My glasses. I put them on, and things came into focus once again. Then I tore open the letter addressed to Martha. Very especial delivery, most urgent, very personal. As I read, my hands began to shake, my head to ache.
Dearest Martha, when you get this letter, Tony will already have surprised you. I did my best to think of a way to keep him from coming without arousing any suspicions. No luck. Under the present circumstances, it would be best for you to take every possible precaution. You cannot be too careful, dear Martha.
My last examination of Tony showed unmistakable symptoms. In the simplest language, of deterioration of the brain tissues. The symptoms point clearly to a situation where Tony's sanity hangs by a very thin thread. At any given moment, that thread may snap. If it does, the first manifestations will be an attack of dizziness, accompanied by a buzzing in the ears and a
blurring of the vision. There are also indications of things that follow the classic pattern, that there will be a series of hallucinations. Hallucinations. He will think he sees and hears things he actually does not see or hear. He will think he has done things he has not actually done. Hallucinations. Then none of these things ever really happened. And Martha's alive. She's alive. Like everything else, I imagined that too. I imagined that I killed her.
Si, pronto.
Pablo, have you seen the senora?
Un momentito, por favor. I have not seen your wife since she left with you, senor.
You don't understand, Pablo. Everything is...
Will you please to have a seat for one small moment, Senor Bridges, until I complete this telephone call? Your pardon. Si, jefe.
You see, Pablo, I'm not exactly well. And I had the foolish idea that Martha, my wife, had fallen over the... That I had pushed her and that she... You understand?
The guy who's dead... No, it's incredible. Esto seguro?
I thought she might be dead, but now I know that... That, too, was what we call a hallucination, something that you think
Se
that...
Se caio en las rocas, a piedi la quebadra. Oh, lloro de gara. Gracias, jefe. Hasta pronto.
What was that all about, Pablo?
I regretfully must inform you, senor, of some very bad news.
What is it, Pablo?
At the foot of the cliff, senor, just below the hotel, two fishermen have... Just discovered the body of the senora, your wife. The police will soon be here. Are you all right, Senor Bernice?
Well, yes, I'm fine, Pablo. Did I hear you speaking on the phone a moment ago?
The phone? Ah, si, senor. It was the contractor for the building of the annex to this hotel.
And you didn't tell me something about two fishermen, what they found at the bottom of the cliff?
Not one word, senor, about any fisherman.
You said nothing about my wife?
Well, no, senor.
Thank you. Thank you, Pablo. I'll be in the bungalow. Was that... phone conversation and what Pablo had told me about Martha's body being found at the foot of the cliff, was that too a hallucination, along with my backing her off the cliff? What was real? What was imagined? Was Martha dead? Was she alive? I rushed back into the bungalow. I knew Martha would be there. Dear, sweet, wonderful, beautiful Martha. Martha? Martha, sweetheart, where are you, Martha? The bedroom? The bathroom? Oh, where on earth could she be? Yes.
Excuse me, senor, but you have two visitors. I will accompany them to the bungalow. We will be there in a moment.
She couldn't possibly have gone to... Oh, what's this? What have I got in my hand? Where did it come from? The key to my closet. I had it when I asked Martha for a cigarette, and she told me that... And it's been here in my hand all that time. Strange. I must open the closet now. I do have the key, and that's what keys are for. To open things. Isn't that right, Tony?
You must do excuse us, senor. These are the... Police of the island.
No, not just this minute, please. Not till I open the door to the closet.
We can't help you. The maid, when she cleaned this morning, found the door to the closet open.
So? No. No, it isn't for real. I'm only imagining this. It's my imagination, gentlemen. It's my imagination.
See, Senor Jefe, here in this closet, that is the body of his wife. Is strangled with this string of precious pearls.
The poet Longfellow wrote, "The moon, from some dark gate of cloud, throws o'er the sea a floating bridge of light, across whose trembling planks our fancies crowd into the realm of mystery and night." So Tony Bridges, as he stands staring into the sea, watching the floating bridge of light cast by a full Caribbean moon, Tony knows at last the difference between the real and the imaginary. Or does he? I'll be back shortly.
Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
We trust you've enjoyed our little exercise in Now You See It, Now You Don't. Or to put it another way, a string of precious pearls should never be used for anything other than show. But that's something everybody knows, isn't it? Our cast included Norman Rose, Marion Seldes, Bob Caliban, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
It will destroy the whole world.
This excitement, it's not good for you.
The world, it's lost unless there is a new 36th man. Take my place. You must do it quickly. Quickly before
no, don't get up. Don't try to get up, please.
Say yes, Harry. Say yes. And suddenly there is an end to thunder and lightning, the wind. Suddenly, every cloud will disappear. A bright sun will shine in a peaceful heaven.
Just rest, not try to...
Say yes. Only you can save the world. Say yes.
Me? Me save the world?
Yes, you. Only you can save the world. Harry, say yes. Harry.
Yes, all right, yes.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. Thank you.
Stay tuned for CBS Radio News on KIXI.
Bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m.
CBS News. Leaders of the Mine Workers Union will be asking their members to ratify a tentative agreement reached Wednesday night with the coal operators. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Both sides say they do expect the miners to ratify the pact and end their strike within 2 weeks. The agreement was reached less than 48 hours after the men went on strike in some 25 states. In Washington, Guy Farmer, the chief industry negotiator, had this comment on the tentative settlement.
We've been at this now for more than 60 days, almost continuously, with the union sitting across the table. But a lot of hard bargaining has taken place. And these men, Mr. Miller and Mr. Patrick and Mr. Jovovich and their associates, they know the coal industry, they know the coal miners, and they're very, very hard bargainers. And I think they've bargained themselves a very fine agreement.
Arnold Miller, the president of the Mine Workers Union, said it's a very good contract, one he can sell to the membership. More news in a moment.
Time Magazine. What's in it for you this week? Cover story. The Democratic sweep. Now the morning after. Last week, the Democrats scored their greatest midterm election triumph since 1958.
But as one prominent Democrat put it, the heat's on us now.
What are the challenges and who will face them?
Time puts it all in perspective with an analysis of Republican disasters in the state election.
The new gubernatorial scoreboard.
The impressive freshman class in the Senate.
The new faces and new strains in the House.
And the record-breaking number of women elected to political office.
In Time's essay this week, some steps to stop oil blackmail.
Energy conservation is possible, practical, and essential.
And Time catalogs some of the best means at hand for getting oil prices back to normal.
In the world, a shocking report by a former missionary and part-time correspondent for Time who was kidnapped, imprisoned, and tortured by the Brazilian military police.
In show business, Duke and Sister Kate, an offbeat, off-camera look at John Wayne and Katharine Hepburn as they wrap up their first picture together.
This is Time this week.
Each week, throughout the world, more people get their news from Time than from any other single source.
In New York Wednesday night, Yasser Arafat, leader of the Palestine Liberation Organization, was guest of honor at a reception held by Arab diplomats. Arafat is expected to remain in New York until Thursday and then go to Cuba. Amid extremely tight security at the UN Wednesday, Arafat spoke to the General Assembly, urging creation of a Palestinian state in the Middle East. Israeli Ambassador Yosef Tekoa later spoke, saying Israel cannot accept Arafat's proposal. Tekoa said the Palestinians already have their own country in Jordan. There was a firefight Wednesday evening near the border between Israel and Lebanon. Bruno Wassertail reports from Tel Aviv.
Military sources say at least 5 Arab guerrillas were killed in a shootout with Israeli forces Wednesday night during a raid in which an Israeli commando unit blew up 3 houses in the South Lebanese village of Zarubin. The army command in Tel Aviv says there were no Israeli casualties. Zarubin is about 5 miles inside Lebanese territory, and the army claims that the houses destroyed had served as staging areas for the Fedayeen. The raid took place a few hours after the northern Israeli cities of Safed and Kiryat Shmona came under rocket attack from Lebanese territory. In Kiryat Shmona, one woman was reported wounded and 2 houses damaged by the exploding rockets. During the night, Israeli long-range artillery shelled targets near Nabatea, 15 miles inside Lebanon and 30 miles south of Beirut. The Nabatea region, the Israelis claim, is one of the principal guerrilla strongholds in southeastern Lebanon. Bruno Wassertail for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
President Ford leaves Washington in the morning to make 2 speeches in the West. The president will appear in Las Vegas before the National Association of Realtors, and later Mr. Ford will appear in Phoenix before the convention of the Society of Professional Journalists, Sigma Delta Chi. President and Mrs. Ford Wednesday signed the nation's first consumer pledge to fight inflation, and they ask other Americans to join them. The pledge says, whenever possible, buy only goods and services priced at or below current levels. New car sales continue to slump. Figures released Wednesday showed during the first 10 days of November, auto sales were off 38.4% compared to last year. General Motors announced Wednesday it will shut down 3 assembly plants next week, idling another 7,200 workers temporarily. Now this.
The French call it an apéritif. In America, it's the appetizer you drink. Either way, Dubonnet goes before.
Before, that's the time to think about some Dubonnet to drink. Before a meal by day or night, it helps to whet your appetite. Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course. And whether you call it an apéritif or an appetizer, the proper time to drink it is before. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's the wine you drink to whet your appetite. Dubonnet Before, made to make what comes after that much better.
Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
A product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
British motorists are in for more hard times, and there are fears many of them will be crowding filling stations between now and Monday to try to head off a stiff new gasoline tax. The price of a gallon of gas in Britain will rise by 17 cents to $1.26 a gallon. A higher gasoline tax was announced Tuesday by the Labour government, part of an austerity budget designed to pump hard cash into the British economy. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Well, this is Rudy Perez on KIXI Seattle. It's 6 minutes past 11, and this sports note. The Seattle Supersonics backcourt duo of Archie Clark and Fred Brown combined for 44 points tonight in leading Seattle to its fourth straight victory. The Sonics beat the Los Angeles Lakers 108-103 in the Seattle Coliseum. The dynamic duo of Brown and Clark scored 15 of Seattle's 25 fourth-quarter points when the Lakers made a run at the Sonics leading most of the way. Clark wound up with 23, while Brown had 21. Spencer Haywood, a standout on defense, led Seattle offensively with 24 points while contributing a career high and a team record of 7 blocked shots. Los Angeles lost its fourth straight game, and its leading scorer was Pat Riley with 25 points. That final again, Seattle 108, Los Angeles 103. Weatherman says look for fog or low clouds through Friday, with partial afternoon clearing. Nighttime lows in the mid-40s, daytime highs in the mid-50s. Right now, 47 downtown, 45 at the airport. The time, 7 minutes past 11.